All right, here we go. Friday afternoon, we made it. You know, I told you Monday, it's going to be Friday before you know it. So here we are together on a Friday afternoon. I'm Scoot on the air. Glad you are with us. It's Free for All Friday, and we have a lot to talk about, but our lines are going to be open for you to talk about really anything you want to talk about. This is still the aftermath of the election. There's a lot to talk about. And, you know, there are some serious things to get to this afternoon and some things to be worried about concerning the new Trump administration. I mean, this is something that even Trump supporters should be worried about. Anyway, we'll talk about all of that right now. Reach over there and crank it up. This is what you've been working for. You know, and when I talk about some of the things that you need to be worried about, you know, I'm a big proponent of freedom of speech. I really like freedom of speech. And I know that there are some Americans who want to suppress freedom of speech because they don't agree with the speech. That is not American. You cannot be a patriotic American and not support the Constitution. You cannot. You can call yourself, but nobody should consider you a patriotic American, even if you fly the American flag, if you don't recognize our most basic freedom, which is freedom of speech. And there are some things that are already being talked about with the new Trump administration that I think are reasons to be concerned. But as I have said, you know, I accept the election. America has spoken. But a lot of people voted for Trump not thinking that some of these things were going to come true. And I'm afraid, and I mean I'm really afraid, that some of these things may come true. So we'll be talking about that this afternoon. Also, it's a big weekend for football. LSU, Alabama, Tiger Stadium. It doesn't get any bigger than that when it comes to college football. And as I said the other day, I honestly believe that LSU and Alabama at Tiger Stadium is bigger than LSU Alabama in Tuscaloosa. I mean, I know it's big there, and I know it's big there for them. But as far as the nation's concerned, as far as the region's concerned, I think it's just bigger when LSU and Alabama play at Tiger Stadium. We're going to be talking about some of the differences between LSU fans and Alabama fans, and we'll tell you some things that you need to know about Alabama. Now, some of you who are Alabama fans might not want to hear it. Those of you listening in Alabama, we have listeners in Alabama. I know you don't want to hear it, but, you know, I always talk about how I tell the truth on this show. And I'm going to tell the truth about LSU and Alabama fans. Also, a huge weekend for the Saints. I would love to think that the Saints, with their new interim head coach, Darren Rizzi, I would love to think that the Saints are going to just kick ass, and I hope they do. But I'm concerned about that. I hate to say it. It pains me to say it. But the Falcons are playing really great football. They're at the top of our division. Now, if the Falcons get to the playoffs, they will probably blow it. If they get to the Super Bowl, they will probably blow it. But what's sad is they might get there and we won't. Even if we have a down year, beating the Falcons is a big deal. I hope the dome is rocking, but I am assuming that a lot of Saints fans have sold their tickets to Falcons fans. The Falcons fans already show up here. It's already loud in the dome when the Falcons do something good when they play here. I think it's going to be even louder Sunday afternoon. So if you're going to the game, you need to work extra hard at making noise, because I think there's going to be a lot of Falcons fans there. And consequently, there will be a lot of Atlanta Falcons fans in town. We have a lot of new listeners to this show, and maybe they haven't heard me talk about this, but, you know, there is a possibility this weekend that you will encounter Atlanta Falcons fans. You might see Falcons fans walking down the street holding hands. You might see them kissing each other. Your kids might see Falcons fans kiss each other. And they might ask the question, Mommy, Daddy, why are those two Falcons fans kissing each other? Because a lot of people consider that lifestyle to be an abomination. So we'll get into that this afternoon, because there's some things that you need to know. And if you're a parent, you need to be prepared to come across Falcons fans just openly showing their affection for each other in public. And how do you deal with that? We'll talk about that this afternoon. All right. Tulane plays Temple. Tulane should win this game. Temple you know, Temple's one of those schools that just really never seems to have a good football team. I guess they make the players go to class. But Tulane, I mean, don't they make the players go to class too? Anyway, Tulane should continue their winning streak against Temple. It's 3 o'clock tomorrow afternoon at Yeoman Stadium. Last night, Thursday night football, Bengals-Ravens, what an incredible game. I love to see Joe Burrow and Ja'Marr Chase hooking up together. The Ravens won it by 1 point. So what would you have done if you were the Bengals and you scored the touchdown? It's 35-34. Would you have gone for the 2-point conversion to win the game, or would you have kicked the extra point to certainly almost guarantee that it would go into overtime? You know, I don't blame them for making the decision to try to win the game. I mean, the game was in Baltimore. The Ravens were on a roll. If the Ravens got their hands on the ball, you know, the way they were playing, they would probably march right down and score a touchdown, and they would probably win in overtime. But I did see some interesting calls with the officials or non-calls with the officials, and it seemed like they were in favor of the Ravens. I mean, I can't help but think that. But, you know, the Bengals are not having a very good season. This was an important game for them, and they lost it. And again, just like the Saints did with their fourth down decision last week, you know, why throw a pass into, this is what the 2-point conversion was about. The pass was too high, incomplete, and why throw into traffic? Because there was a lot of traffic there, so Joe Burrow had to throw the ball high. So anyway, the Ravens won it last night, 35-34. So the Who Dem fans in Cincinnati are not happy at all. There is a lot of talk about the North Korean troops going to fight with the Russians in Ukraine. One of the things that has come up is the North Korean troops now have access to the internet. North Korea doesn't allow access to the internet. They don't have access. So these North Korean troops are fighting with the Russians. They have now on their phones, they've got access to the internet. And apparently, they're like really binging on porn. Because you don't get to see porn in North Korea. So these soldiers are going, yeah, I'll go fight. I might die, but I'm going to get to see porn. Now, at this point, we can see porn in America. When Project 2025 starts to be implemented, when Trump becomes president, porn could be outlawed. And there's some things going on in terms of who might be the new head of the FCC, the Federal Communications Commission. And since I'm in this business, it causes me to be concerned. So we're going to talk about that. And also, we have to address this blatantly racist text that has gone out to some people, including school children and college students. It has gone out to only African Americans, and it basically tells them to gather their belongings and show up at a certain location. I don't know, sometimes the location is not mentioned, but sometimes the location is mentioned. Basically, what this text is about is telling African Americans to gather their belongings because they have been chosen to pick cotton. Donald Trump emboldens people who are racist. And for those who have said that Kamala Harris being a woman of color had nothing to do with her loss, are naive. There is blatant racism in this country. And not all Trump supporters are racist. But Trump's mentality and his method of operation, his demeanor, it makes people who are racist feel like they can come forward and openly be racist. And we as Americans, even if you supported Trump, we need to denounce this. This is not the America I want to live in. And it's not everybody. It's not all Americans by any means. But it's sad that Trump does make these people feel like, these racist people feel like they can come forward and be who they want to be, which is racist. You can be racist in your heart. That's sad, but you can't act on it. You're not allowed to manifest your racism in our society. You could be a racist, but you can't do anything to act out as a racist. You can't actively discriminate against somebody based on skin color. It's Free for All Friday. If you want to join us with a comment this afternoon, the Oakland Art Jewelers talk and text line is 504-260-1870. 504-260-1870. Ian Hoke is our senior producer, joins us from the other studio. Good afternoon, sir.
Good afternoon to you, too, as well. Oh,
hey,
that was a little too loud.
What? It's Friday.
Yeah, it's Friday. Yeah. I did something pretty wild.
What?
I did something crazy.
What?
I bought the Kelsey Mix cereal. The cereal that's got the Kelsey brothers on it, and it's Reese's Puffs, Cinnamon Toast Crunch, and Lucky Charms all in one box.
Okay, Cinnamon Crunch.
Cinnamon Toast Crunch.
Cinnamon Toast Crunch.
Lucky Charms.
And Lucky Charms all in one.
And Reese's Puffs.
To me, that sounds disgusting.
It's psychotic. I hate it.
It's bad?
I mean, if somebody else bought it and they likes it, and I, you know, I'm not going to yuck your yum, but I'm not going to finish that box. This stuff sucks. This is bad.
Man,
and I'm insulted, honestly. You know, it's like the cereal companies have gotten so lazy. You know, it's like instead of coming up with a new product, they just keep like remixing products that they already make and then selling it back to us like it's something new. And, you know, the way that these food conglomerations all, you know, have these subsidiaries, which is why now you have like Dippin' Dots cereal and Pop-Tart cereal. It's like we don't – is anybody actually innovating, doing anything new? And this is again, the phenomenon I speak about sometimes is the Oreoification of our food products, the Oreoification, where it's like you just keep.
Yeah,
I'm fascinated by it, which is why I keep buying this stuff. You know, the little convenience store in our office building downstairs. I just saw this morning they have creamy coconut Dr. Pepper in stock. So, you know, I bought a couple of those.
You know, I've got to check that out because I love Dr. Pepper.
Yeah,
that sounds really good.
Go down to the GoFest.
Hey,
check it out.
I have a question. I think we would all consider the Jeep to be a masculine vehicle. It doesn't mean that women don't drive Jeeps, and it's cool to see a woman in a Jeep, and every woman has a masculine side, and some women are just really comfortable in a Jeep. Other women are comfortable in a Lexus or a Subaru or whatever. But I think we can consider a Jeep to be just basically a masculine vehicle,
sure.
Right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
What's the deal? And I saw this coming in. What's the deal with these masculine men driving Jeeps that have a line of little plastic ducks along the front windshield?
The ducks. People will call us and tell us about
what's
the ducks.
What's the deal?
It's like a duck. It's like just a sort of organic joke that people started playing on. Like you leave a duck on somebody else's Jeep when you see it, and it's like this kind of Jeep congrat. This has been going on for years. I think we actually spoke about this.
You know,
a couple of years ago.
I don't remember the answer, and I saw it again today, and I'm thinking, all right, here's this Jeep, and all these little plastic ducks are lined up all along the windshield. So what's the deal with that? All right, the Oakland Art Jewelers talking text line, 504-260-1870. We'll get to your calls and texts coming up. So we'll get an answer to that before the show comes to an end. I heard in our news that Jeff Landry, the conservative governor of our state who has shown signs of disregarding the Constitution, is on Donald Trump's short list for Attorney General of the United States. That, to me, is scary AF. Jeff Landry does not always show respect for the Constitution. If he's Attorney General, that's not good. You know, and during the campaign when Jeff Landry became governor and he was doing certain things that really just seemed like he was using the office of governor to get Donald Trump's attention and to get national attention, he was doing things that are going to cost taxpayers money because he was doing things that were unconstitutional, already declared unconstitutional by the Supreme Court. And one of them was the Ten Commandments in school classrooms. So Jeff Landry, I said, looks like he's using his position as governor to position himself to be with the Trump administration. And boy, doesn't it seem like that turned out to be the truth. I'm Scoot on the Air, and we'll be right back on WWL. All right, yeah, a lot of hate is in the air. So these racist messages referencing slavery, basically targeting African Americans with messages telling them to get their belongings because they have been selected to pick cotton. A reference to slavery, in other words, basically saying, oh, you're an African American? Well, you have been selected to pick cotton, so show up at a certain location. This is horrible. Here is some positive news. Apparently, some of these messages originated in Poland. And that means the Russians are probably behind it. Russians want us divided. And they're going to pretend to be Americans. And they're going to pretend to send out messages that divide us. So while there are racist people in America, these may have come from Poland. The good news is it's not from Americans. The sad news is that some Americans might actually agree with them. So let's not discount racism in America, but let's be glad that these might have originated in Poland and not the United States. All right, I'm Scoot. It's Free for All Friday. Let's get to some of your calls. If you want to join us with a comment, the Oakenheart Jewelers talk and text line is 504-260-1870. Also, Ian has some of your text messages coming up. Let's go to Dan in New Orleans. Dan, good afternoon.
Good afternoon. How are you doing, Scoot?
Good.
Well, I have two comments.
Okay.
First of all, you haven't talked about it yet, but you mentioned it about the text. Is it okay if I say something about the racist text?
Sure.
Well, first of all, I don't believe they're speculating. They're saying that they're racist and what groups may be behind it. I'm going to say this and be the first to say it. I think it's somebody black. The reason why I think it's somebody black is because every time a politician or somebody in power comes out with some kind of racist idea or policy and the black community kind of goes against that guy, the first thing they tell black people, we're going to go back to slavery. This guy's trying to take us back. I've never heard white racists talk about picking cotton and going back to slavery. That's always been a threat to the black community by somebody black who's saying if you're not proactive enough in your community and be a person that votes and be knowledgeable, we're going to go back to slavery. So that sounds like a black invention. That's just my opinion.
Well, Dan, you can give a perspective that I can't give, and I appreciate that perspective. And it's still sad, but that's an interesting perspective.
Well, people are angry. And another thing is this: why all of a sudden, because this lady lost the race, now it's a black thing? I'm not saying that it's not now, but what I'm saying is, when she was getting all of these endorsements, all of this financial endorsement, she broke records when it comes to the money that she received. And the celebrity endorsements, I mean, Oprah Winfrey, Obama's wife, and even this Taylor Swift, for God's sake. It was all good. Nobody was saying anything about race then. But now we don't get the results we wanted, and now it's the race card? I mean, it sounds like people are just like sour grapes. Or well, perhaps it was the race thing from the very beginning, but why wasn't anybody talking about the race factor?
Well, Dan, we talked about that. I mean, that was addressed. It was addressed by a lot of people. And I think you're
before
right, though.
The election?
Yeah, before the election, we talked about that. It was,
really?
but it's something that people don't really want to talk about. But yeah, we talked about that possibility. And I don't think she lost because of the black thing or because of the gender thing. I think those were factors with some people. But that's not why she lost.
Okay, that's an interesting perspective, too. And I'm not saying it's not. I'm just now hearing the race factor. After all, she was successful in her being vice president. Race wasn't a factor then.
Well, because
the public
didn't select her. The public just kind of, you know, vicariously selected her because they voted for Joe Biden, and people vote for the president. They don't vote for the vice president. Dan, I appreciate your perspective. I'm glad you called the show. Let's go to Jeff in Mandeville. Hey, Jeff.
Hey, Scoot. God bless you, my friend.
Thank you. I think we all need that.
We do. But I'm not going to hold too many people too accountable, because human beings are on their worst behavior when they're hurt. And there's a lot of people who are hurt. So I'm going to try to just brush off everything that I hear for this week. But I do have an interesting take on the racism and the sexism, right?
Okay.
Because it bothers me, and I'm trying to think this thing out to its logical conclusion. And I'm just looking at it, right? And it has been talked about here in the past few days that Mr. Biden got a slew more votes than Ms. Harris did. But that Mr. Trump, he's right around the same amount that he usually and always gets. And I ask myself, why did so many less people come out to vote for her? And it's hard for me to accept the narrative that maybe they cheated. Maybe they did cheat, and this is the evidence. I'm not going there. But maybe the racism and the sexism exists on the Democratic side, and that's why they didn't come vote for her. So maybe that's where it lies. I know everybody's pointing to the right and saying it, but maybe they're pointing in the wrong direction. Because what other explanation is there for 8 million less people to vote for her when we were told that Mr. Biden got all the votes because everybody was voting against Trump? Yeah.
I do think that if race and gender were a factor, it would have been a factor not with the progressive left. It would have been a factor with some of the moderate Republicans and some of the moderate Democrats who, didn't want to ever admit it, but maybe they were affected by that. But I don't know. I don't think that was a big deal. I don't think race and gender are the reasons that she lost. I think it was a factor with some Americans. But she lost because she was directly linked to Joe Biden, and Joe Biden was not popular. And they handed Donald Trump and the Republicans the border issue. They didn't say anything publicly about what they were doing about the border. I know there was that bill that Donald Trump, had his Republican comrades not sign and reject, even though it was, created by a Republican. I know all of that. But the bottom line was the Biden administration let the border become worse of a crisis. And that became one of the big campaign issues for Trump. And, inflation hit. Inflation's going down, but people are still hurt. So that was another big issue. So, let's see what Donald Trump does about these things. If Donald Trump gives me more money in my pocket because inflation goes down even more, hey, I'm going to thank the guy. If he gives me more money, that's great. If the border is no longer a crisis, I think that's great. But I don't think we're finished with illegal immigrants committing crimes against American citizens, because a lot of these people are criminal types. And there were illegal immigrants who killed Americans when Donald Trump was president. And during the campaign, it sounded like only illegal immigrants killed Americans under the Biden administration, which is not true. Let's go to Ian with some of your text messages.
Here's a text that says Trump mislabeled Harris, saying he doesn't know if she was black, which is, of course, a slight of her ethnicity.
Yeah, look, race was an issue, and we discussed it. I don't think it was the main issue that she lost.
Yeah, it's really crazy to think that people are only talking about that Kamala Harris was the target of racist attacks only after the election. Like, I don't know what they were paying attention to during the whole general campaign, but there was a ton of that. And if you didn't see it, good for you, because I get racist text messages about 4 inches in front of my face every day when I sit down here.
Yeah, listen, there are racists who text this show. They are free to listen. I don't invite them to listen. I don't do anything that invites racists to listen to our show. But racists listen because they want to correct me. They want to be mad at me. There are people who are still mad at me because I'm not a racist, because I was attacked by 4 black guys in downtown New Orleans at 4 o'clock in the morning walking to work. And they're mad at me because I'm not racist, because I was attacked by 4 black guys. But my point was, those 4 black guys don't represent African-Americans in general. So why am I going to become a racist? But racism is a big deal in America.
Here's a text message that says, Scoot, man, you got so many grown men crying over you in the comments of that last post that you put on your Facebook. It reminded me why I don't open Facebook anymore.
Ian posted the article that was written about me recently. It was a national news service. It goes out to anybody who subscribes to this news service and radio stations and media services and outlets across the country. It was a national article, and it was about me telling the truth on a station in an area that is predominantly red, doing a show and telling the truth and having the truth rejected just because people don't want to recognize the truth. But it's still the truth. So it was an interesting article that's posted on the Scoot on the Air Facebook page, and you can comment on it.
Here's a text that says, where'd it go? There it is. Just applied for a job at the Democrat Weather Control and Manipulation Center.
Oh, wow.
Wow, the technology is incredible. I had a tour of the facility and control center. Not only can it steer hurricanes, it can also increase or decrease the wind speed and rain amounts. It can add tornadoes and lightning within the hurricane, and they're working on how to create blizzards that can be used in the deep south. This is freaking incredible.
It's amazing. And, you know, they might actually, the Democrats might actually direct bad weather for Donald Trump's inauguration day in January. Let's see if that happens.
Yeah, it might be cold and snowy in January in Washington. Just look out for that.
If it is, the Democrats did it.
There's a text. I'll leave you with this one. Scoot, the new news on WBRZ in Baton Rouge had a story about how Live Tiger might be at the LSU Tigers game tomorrow night. Our illustrious governor wants a live tiger at the game inside the stadium, and to get the tiger they have now, they had to promise not to put him through the stress of being in a small cage with the noise of the stadium, because the last tiger they had that was brought inside the stadium eventually refused to go inside the cage. This time, they have brought another tiger in from Florida. The tiger's a year and a half old. He's never been in a small cage inside of a stadium. Experts are saying this will not go well and are hoping they decide not to do it. I think they should put Landry in the cage with the tiger.
I would love that. You know, we've got a governor who's all about show. Doesn't give a damn about the animal. Doesn't give a damn about anything except the appearance of things. So I love animals, but I'm not some wacko animal lover. But I love animals. I mean, and if something's going to hurt a majestic live tiger, By putting him in Tiger Stadium before the Alabama LSU game, all the noise and all those tigers, they don't know how to deal with that stuff. And you're going to put a tiger in that setting just because you want the show of it, or you want the credit of you're the one that brought in a live tiger? I think it's pathetic. If you want to join us, the Open Heart Jewelers Talk and Text Line 504-260-1870. When I think about these racist text messages that have gone out, I am reminded that racism is not new in America. It has been around for a long time. You know, this song came out about 1970, Three Dog Night, Black and White. It came out about 1970, and, you know, there was a hope with a young generation, the baby boomer generation, that we would grow up, and when we were in control of America, which we are now, that racism would disappear. And I'm a hostile witness to the baby boomer generation because my generation hasn't done a damn thing. Well, my generation hasn't done enough to bring an end to racism. I'm Scoot, and we'll be back on WWL. On the Scoot on the Air Rock Culture Calendar, it was on this day, November the 8th, 2016, Hillary Clinton lost the presidency to Donald J. Trump. Hillary Clinton had the support of Bruce Springsteen, Katy Perry, Barbara Streisand. Donald Trump had the support of Ted Nugent, Loretta Lynn, Wayne Newton. Miley Cyrus said she would leave America if Donald Trump was elected. He was elected. She's still here. I don't know of anybody who's actually threatened to move, who's actually moved out of the country. Man, people need to just stop making that ridiculous promise. If they win, they win. I'm leaving the country. Well, you know what? If you make that promise, then get your ass out of the country and go ahead and leave. I'm Scoot. Let's get back to more of your calls. Let's go to J.D. in Mississippi. Hey, J.D.
Yes, sir. How you doing, Mr. Scoot?
I'm good, J.D. How are you?
Yes, sir. I don't know if you remember. I called you before the election.
Yes, I do remember.
And spoke with you a little bit. Listen, first of all, about the racism part. You know, everybody's equal in the sight of God. And the reason I vote President Trump, not because of Kamala Harris's color or what have you. I felt like President Trump was most qualified for the job. And as far as I was raised back, my first year in school was 1970. That's when they integrated school over in Alabama. And I had my Sunday school teacher, my first grade teacher. Just bear with me now. I'm making a point. And now we went out for recess. And the white kids took recess by themselves, and the black kids took a recess by themselves, but we took classes together.
Mm-hmm.
There's a big line at the water fountain, and I went over to the middle fountain, which was the black fountain at the time. And the teacher grabbed me by the collar and told me that was dirty water, I didn't need to drink it. And so anyhow, I went home and asked Mom when I got in, was this dirty water or good water? I explained to her what happened. She sat me down and explained to me about that. So when we went to Sunday school Sunday, we sang the song, Jesus Loved All the Children of the World, radio, black and white, they're precious in his sight. So I asked that lady, I said, well, you told me that that was dirty water and I didn't need to drink behind black kids. But Jesus says he loves all the children of the world. And I grew up, and about 20 years later, I met that lady, and she said that changed her life, that, you know, that was true. We all equal in the sight of God. And racism, in my eyes, is not near as bad as it was, and it's gotten better. Friends of mine that are of color, Hispanics, what have you, they got a better opportunity than they did back then. I'm not saying that we still don't have a long road to hoe, but I feel like if, just like with President Trump, when President Obama, and with Biden, when they was elected, I didn't vote for them. I did not. But they was elected, and I backed them because that was our leader. If we don't back our president or our leaders, it's division. And we need to put everything aside, and because if not, we're not going to make any headway as a country. Yeah. Countryman or countrywoman. You understand? I hope I'm making a point.
Yeah, you are. And J.D., look, I respect what you experienced. I respect your opinion. When I was young and I went to the amusement park here, Pontchartrain Beach, I saw that there was a water fountain for whites only and a water fountain for colors only. And I asked my dad why, because I didn't understand it. And I don't remember what he told me, but whatever he told me, I still didn't understand the difference. I think he said just because that's just the way it is. But it never occurred to me that we were really that different, that we needed different water fountains. And I'm glad you saw that growing up in Mississippi. J.D., I appreciate the call.
Sir.
Look, and things are a lot better, but that shouldn't cause us to rest or feel satisfied because we're not as far as I thought we would be. You know, I grew up as part of the baby boomer generation. I grew up when the Civil Rights Act was being passed. I was there during discrimination. I saw some of this. And I thought by this point in time, we would be a lot further than we are. So I'm disappointed that we're not farther than we are. Yeah, things are better. But they're not good enough. And they're not fair enough. And these racist text that, again, now we're learning may have come from Poland. And by the way, Poland has been used by Russians as a way to invade social media. And I don't know all the technical aspect of that, but the fact that they're from Poland leads me to think that it's ultimately from Russians in Poland doing this work. And the Russians want us divided. And this is a great way to make it seem as if Americans are so racist that they want to bring African-Americans back to slavery, which is not true. There might be a few, but, you know, we reject those people. We reject those few who want that. So this should not be a reflection on America. Anyway, coming up in the next hour, I really want to talk about some frightening thoughts about Donald Trump and the Federal Communication Commission and Donald Trump's desire to perhaps get back at the media and those who disagree with him. We'll talk about that coming up in the next hour. If you're on hold, just stay with us. We're coming back with more. And I think we really need to worry about the freedoms that we have. I hope I'm wrong, but there are some warning signs that the Trump administration may infringe on our freedoms. And that's something that's not going to be good for Trump voters either. This is not just about Democrats. It's about Trump voters as well. I'm Scoot on the air. It's Friday afternoon, Free for All Friday, and we'll be back on WWL. On the Scoot on the Air Rock Culture Calendar, it was on this day in 1969. This was the number one song in America. I think this was the song that Monica Lewinsky used to sing to Bill Clinton. Well, we know she wasn't always looking him in the eye. I'm Scoot on the Air. All right, coming up, we've got some frightening things, some possible frightening things about Donald Trump retaliating against the media. I hope it was a lot of just blowhard hot air coming from the campaign. We have freedom of media in this country, and that is one of the foundations of our country and our freedom. And we cannot surrender that. Even if you voted for Trump, you cannot stand for a president to do anything to shut down on freedom of speech when it comes to the media, even if it's speech you don't like. I'm Scoot on the Air. We'll talk about that truth when we come back here. If you're on hold, just hang on. We're going to get to your calls on WWL. All right, Free for All Friday. I'm Scoot on the Air. Glad you are with us. LSU, Alabama. And that brings us to a time when we start talking about the truth about Alabama and the difference between LSU and Alabama. We'll get into this more in the next hour. But for example, what's the only good thing to come out of Alabama? The answer, I-10. What do you call 23 John Deere tractors at a Dairy Queen on the University of Alabama campus? That's prom night. All right, I'm Scoot on the Air. Yeah, it is Free for All Friday. We'll talk a little bit more about that. Big rivalry. And so Governor Landry wants to bring a tiger into Tiger Stadium. There are people who are saying that that's just kind of cruel, and I think they tried this once and the tiger didn't like it. Jeff Landry wants to do it. I don't know. I think we should maybe pay attention to what the tiger wants. I mean, I'm not some animal rights activist, but I am an active animal lover. I will tell you that. And it just seems to me that it's an unnecessary show of I don't know, machismo or whatever you want to call it. So it doesn't seem like it's necessary. You know, the bulldog that they bring out. You know, at University of Georgia football games, the bulldog, the longhorn that they bring out at the University of Texas, things like that. You know, those animals don't seem to be too bothered by it. But a tiger being brought out with all of the crowd there in a cage. I mean, I wonder if animals just like I wonder if, you know, they have memory from their ancestors. And I mean, being in a cage in a big arena like that, it could bring them back to the, you know, times when the, you know, the lions and tigers were, you know, eating the Christians. I don't know. I'm not a tiger, so I can't speak from firsthand experience. When we began the show, I saw this driving in today. And even though a lot of cool women drive Jeeps, I think a Jeep is generally a masculine vehicle. And that's not an insult to any women who drive Jeeps. But I wonder why they have the line of plastic ducks along the windshield. It seems like such a, I don't know, sissified thing to do for a Jeep, these little plastic play ducks along the windshield. Well, apparently it's a way of showing camaraderie. We got some text on this, and if you see somebody in a Jeep, I guess you keep some plastic ducks with you, and you put that on a Jeep, and I guess the people that have the most plastic ducks are the most popular, and then apparently there's some Jeep wave. You know, everybody that drives a Jeep, when they pass each other, they give a certain wave. You know, I guess there are some people who buy certain vehicles and they feel like they have this common bond with somebody just because they drive the other vehicle that's identical. Man, I don't think I have anything in common with the people that drive the car that I drive. So, you know, I'm not doing any plastic ducks or any special waves or anything like that. We do have something serious to get to, and we will talk more about this next week, but I just want to at least introduce it this afternoon. There are some alarming things that could happen concerning President Donald Trump and the FCC, concerning the media. Donald Trump has talked about retaliating against the media, retaliating against those who disagree with him. Do you have any idea how dangerous this is? And when I say dangerous, I mean dangerous for Trump supporters as well. For those of you who disagree with me, the idea of somehow suppressing disagreeing opinions is such a threat to basic American freedom that I don't think you realize how serious this is. And there will be challenges. There's also the Supreme Court. But the Supreme Court is dominated by conservative justices now. But the idea that our government, through a government agency, controls messages in the media, controls what the media says, is the most frightening threat to our freedom that I can think of in my lifetime. So we'll talk a little bit about that this afternoon. If you're on hold, just hang on. I'm going to get to your calls. We've got some texts to get to as well. So it's been called like really one of the most stunning political comebacks of all time. So how did Donald Trump do it?
A lot has changed since Donald Trump's election defeat in 2020, which triggered a crisis in democracy and the storming of the U.S. Capitol. Pundits are crediting Donald Trump with a savvier campaign organization, a firm grip on his political base, and sheer force of will with changing his political fortune. Trump and his team were able to seize on widespread discontent over the direction of the country, inflamed by stubborn inflation. He directed his message to new generation, making strong use of podcasts and social media, telling those who feel forgotten that he shared their disdain for the status quo. I'm Jackie Quinn.
And Donald Trump has announced a history-making selection for his first chief of staff.
President-elect Donald Trump has named Susie Wiles as his White House chief of staff. Wiles was Trump's campaign manager and is widely credited within and outside Trump's inner circle for running a disciplined and well-executed campaign. Wiles is a longtime Florida-based Republican strategist who ran Trump's campaigns in Florida in 2016 and 2020. Before that, she ran Rick Scott's 2010 campaign for Florida governor. Wiles will be the first ever female chief of staff in U.S. history. I'm Lisa Dwyer.
And television viewership continues to fall at an accelerated rate, and election night was no exception.
Now, this may sound like a lot of people. About 42 million people watched on TV election night, says the Nielsen Company, as the returns poured in the Trump-Harris battle. But that's down sharply from the almost 57 million who watched in 2020 when Donald Trump and Joe Biden duked it out. Far more than that tuned in on election night in 2016, 71 million. So does this mean that Americans care less and less about the election? Not necessarily. Television viewership in general has slipped over the past decade, with people cutting cable and satellite subscriptions. So it's hard to know how much this downturn reflects people turning elsewhere for news that night, or simply being less interested in following the results. I'm Rita Foley.
The most populous state in America is fortifying their government ahead of Trump's move into the White House.
California Democratic Governor Gavin Newsom is calling for state lawmakers to convene a special session ahead of another Trump presidency. Newsom is a fierce critic of the former president and wants to safeguard the state's progressive policies. Newsom's office tells the Associated Press that the governor and lawmakers are ready to, quote, Trump-proof California's state laws. The governor is calling on the legislature to meet in December and give the Attorney General's office more funding to fight federal challenges. Trump often depicts California as representing all he sees wrong in America. I'm Mike Hempen.
All right, even before Trump takes office, there's some bad news for families with mixed immigration status.
A federal judge has struck down a Biden administration program that allowed undocumented spouses and stepchildren of U.S. citizens to apply for a green card without first having to leave the country. U.S. District Judge J. Campbell Barker ruled Thursday that the Biden administration overstepped its authority by implementing the Keeping Families Together program and had stretched the legal interpretation of relevant immigration law, quote, past its breaking point, end quote. Barker had put the program on hold in August, days after applicants had filed their paperwork, and Republican attorneys general from 15 other states filed a legal challenge, accusing the Biden administration of bypassing Congress. During Trump's first term, he appointed Barker as a judge in Tyler, Texas. I'm Donna Water.
The Department of Justice has unsealed criminal charges in a thwarted Iranian plot to kill Donald Trump.
A criminal complaint filed in federal court in New York City says an unnamed leader in Iran's Revolutionary Guard instructed a contact to put together a plan last month to track and ultimately assassinate Donald Trump. The contact's been identified as Farzad Shakari, who was told if he couldn't develop a plot by then, the Iranian official would wait until after the election, thinking it would be easier to reach Trump then if he had lost.
Federal officials have been describing ongoing efforts by Iran to target U.S. government officials, including Trump, on U.S. soil. I'm Jackie Quinn.
Rudy. Dude, you just don't friggin' get it. The former New York mayor, former Trump attorney, who was part of that ill-fated attempt to claim the 2020 election was stolen, is being ordered again to turn over his assets.
In New York, Rudy Giuliani is being ordered to quickly turn over prized assets as part of a $148 million defamation judgment. In 2020, Giuliani falsely accused Georgia poll workers Ruby Freeman and daughter Shay Moss of ballot fraud.
I didn't commit a crime. Nobody's been investigated for 20 years and you can't find a crime. I don't commit crimes.
The women say they face death threats after Giuliani accused them of sneaking in ballots in suitcases, counting ballots multiple times, and tampering with voting machines. Giuliani says this is similar to President-elect Donald Trump's legal issues.
They were all political trials, and a political verdict has been rendered, and very decisively, that was all a bunch of political harassment. Well, so is my case.
Giuliani is being ordered to turn over his $5 million Upper East Side apartment, luxury watches, and a shirt signed by New York Yankees legend Joe DiMaggio. I'm Ed Donahue.
You know, they're going to make him turn this stuff over. I mean, Rudy Giuliani, that poor, pathetic SOB. I mean, he's just a pathetic human being. You know, he was the mayor of the world. He was the mayor of America after 9/11, and he just has digressed into just a pathetic, disgusting human being. And he'll have to turn this stuff over. I mean, he can delay, but he's going to have to give it up. It's interesting that that $6 million penthouse in New York is now valued at, now it's being valued at like $5 million. And I guess it was devalued because people knew that Rudy Giuliani once owned it. The most popular books in this country right now are all tied to the current political landscape.
The top seller on Amazon's bestseller list as of Thursday is Melania, the memoir by former and future First Lady Melania Trump, Vice President-elect J.D. Vance's Hillbilly Elegy, and Timothy Snyder's On Tyranny, a bestseller from Trump's previous time in office, are both in the top 10. Donald Trump's photo book, Save America, as well as dystopian fiction like The Handmaid's Tale, 1984, and Fahrenheit 451 are in the top 40. Shannon DeVito of Barnes & Noble says after the election, books leaning both right and left politically rocketed up its charts. That includes Melania, On Tyranny, and War by Bob Woodward, as well as a massive bump for The Handmaid's Tale in 1984. I'm Archie Zaraletta.
All right, when we come back, we're going to get to some of your calls. And I do just need to start the conversation about the possibility of Trump infringing on the freedom of speech that we have in the media. I'm Scoot on the Air. It's Free for All Friday, so please just hang on. I promise we're coming right back with your calls. And we've got a lot of text to get to this afternoon. Very busy Friday afternoon. But we're heading into the weekend. I'm Scoot on the Air. We'll be right back on WWL. Yeah, we got to be positive no matter who you voted for. If you voted for a candidate that did not win, if you're a Harris supporter and she didn't win, you know, you got to keep your head up. But there's some things that we need to watch out for. Joe Rogan agrees with me that Donald Trump should not attack people who disagree with him opinion-wise, and he should let people talk their SH, masters, asterisk. Let people talk their stuff. We'll talk more about that in a minute. Let me get to some of your calls. Let's go to the Gulf Coast. Tom, you're on WWL. Thanks for hanging on, Tom. Welcome to the show.
Hey, thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
Most of the time, I know we talked a little bit before it came on, but what I was curious is when you were on, I don't think you were there. I think it was Ian, maybe.
Yeah, I didn't talk to you.
Yeah, no. I'm talking about last week when he was on radio.
Oh, okay.
Off, maybe.
Okay.
Yeah. But he said something that struck me, and I was like, well, that's how, where did he get the information on this? That he said, and these are his words, not mine. He said that Donald Trump caused a lot of people, or he is responsible for a lot of deaths of COVID-19. And I said, well, I wonder where they got that information from. So that's what I was just curious. Where is that information that said Donald Trump caused people to die from COVID-19?
Well, I'm going to let
he didn't clarify it.
Well, let's let Ian answer that. You know, a lot of people came to that conclusion from the information that was based on the information that came out, and they based that conclusion on information. It might not have been written per se, but that was a conclusion that people came to.
This is a conclusion a lot of people came to. I was pulled out of thin air, and it's not that there's just like one article or one TV show that said this. And, I mean, there's a lot of ground to cover here. I mean, back in February, we know that Donald Trump was having a private conversation with Bob Woodward, in which he told Bob Woodward, this thing is coming, it's really bad, it's deadlier than the flu, there's going to be a lot of death. And then he comes out to America in public and says, it's all going to magically go away. It's just like the seasonal flu, baby. It'll affect virtually nobody. I don't want to do the testing. Slow down the testing, please, because I don't want America to have an increasing number of COVID cases, because that reflects poorly on him. He criticized his own public health staff by saying, you know, you got to liberate Minnesota, liberate Michigan. These lockdowns are too much. He's not out here doing much to help people wear masks. And I know we can have a conversation about the efficacy of masks, but it's certainly true at the time that he did nothing to encourage their use. He downplayed it when he knew how bad it was going to be. He interrupted the public health messaging at almost every turn. I mean, it is certainly true. You know, the death rate in America from COVID was the worst in the Western world. It was almost twice what it was in Canada. And there are many reasons for that. But I think it's pretty easy to conclude that the federal response to COVID was hampered by the presence of Donald Trump, and that resulted in excess deaths that other countries did not experience.
And Tom, you know, so Ian explains this. I didn't say that. Ian says it, but I understand how Ian came to that conclusion, like many others did. If a president tells kids, don't look both ways before you cross the street, and that is a big thing that he's promoting, and kids start getting hit by cars, it's not that, you know, you say, well, where does it say that the president was responsible for the kids' deaths? But from the information that you have, you can conclude that the president had something to do with the deaths of people. And so I understand, I didn't say it, but I understand how people came to that decision that Donald Trump was responsible for some of the COVID deaths.
To say nothing of the abject inanity and cruelty of making states outbid each other for PPE, personal protective equipment, for the ventilators and the gloves and the masks and the surgical gowns and all these things that are suddenly people are running short on. And he's being pretty explicit, saying, I'm not going to deliver that material unless people come and kiss my ring. So Jay Inslee in Washington, you and I don't get along, so you're not going to get the PPE. People in Texas, people in Alabama and other Florida, we're going to make sure you get what you need. But those blue states, I'm not going to make it as easy for you to get the help that you need from the federal government. Actually happened.
And there are people who are going to conclude that women, if abortion rights continue to diminish, there are going to be people who are going to conclude that anybody involved in diminishing abortion rights is going to be responsible for the deaths of women who die as a result of not having access to a doctor who might be able to do an abortion to save somebody's life.
The last thing I'll say about it, and we can move on. Imagine that in February, early March of 2020, Donald Trump had said, we are in for some serious trouble. I need everybody to be calm and work together and help each other out, and we will get through this. We're going to be really challenged, but we can come together as Americans and pull off a really impressive feat here. Instead, he said, it's all going to disappear. Like a miracle, it will disappear. It'll go away on its own. Imagine if he had said the former thing that I suggested that other world leaders did. Instead, we got, it's all going to go away on its own. It's going to be a miracle.
And
it was
conventional wisdom that Donald Trump downplayed this because of the election. Let's go to Roy in Homa. Roy, you're on WWL. Good afternoon.
Hey, Scoot. I'm going to change the subject just a little bit. But when I took my oath of office, when I got drafted, it said clearly, I will defend the Constitution of the United States. I hate to bust everybody's bubble. We're not a democracy. We're a constitutional republic.
Okay.
Now, with that being said, I'm just an average middle-class American. I didn't vote for Harris because of the economic policies. $25,000 giveaway. Where's the money coming from? And guess what? My house just went up $25,000 if she's going to give the people that money. That's capitalism. Number two, tax on unrealized gain. It's ridiculous. I don't have the money in my pocket yet. How can I pay taxes on something I don't have and exists only on paper? I can't deduct an unrealized loss. Third point, corporations. You're right. They don't pay enough taxes. They don't pay any taxes. You and I pay taxes when we buy the things that they make. If they drop taxes, they're not going to drop the money, give it to shareholders. If you raise it, they'll just raise the cost of goods
us. That's right.
People under 40 don't get it. And I wish I could make more young people understand that.
You know, Roy, you're right. And there's, you know, there were a lot of promises that are going to have to be paid for, and we're not sure how those things are going to be paid for. Again, it's real easy to make a promise on the campaign trail. I don't care which side you're on. But we warned this during the campaign. Don't be so quick to buy into these promises. Vote for the person you think is the best person, but don't expect all these promises to be fulfilled. And the cost of deporting people, I know that's a big issue in this country. And the border is a big issue, and it should be a big issue. But the cost of deporting people is almost prohibitive. So, you know, we'll see how all of this transpires. All right, if you're on hold, stay with us. We'll take a quick break. We're coming right back with more of your comments. And still to come in the next hour, we've got to talk about the number of Falcon fans that are going to be in town. And I'm sure a lot of Saints fans have sold their tickets, and Falcons fans show up in big numbers anyway. But they're going to be even more now because the Falcons are leading the division. They're winning. They're probably going to kick the Saints' ass Sunday. I hope not, man. I hope Rizzi does an awesome job in inspiring the Saints that we kick the Falcons' ass, and we can do it, and it may happen. And, man, that dome will erupt if we beat them. But there'll be a lot of Falcons fans in town. We'll talk about the reality of your kids being exposed to Falcon fans in public. I'm Scoot. We'll be back on WWL. This is Connie Francis. It's a soundtrack from a movie, Where the Boys Are, and it was about spring break in Fort Lauderdale, and it was about young people in hotel rooms and having sex, and it was looking in the 1960s. This was a really racy movie. On this day in 1974, Connie Francis was attacked at her Howard Johnson's hotel room. She was raped at knife point. And she didn't perform for 7 years. But 2 years after this happened, she was awarded more than $2 million in her lawsuit against the hotel chain. I mean, who did that? Was it random or was it a fan? And how could a fan ever do that to somebody that he really cared about? But really, a sad, sad story and a traumatic moment in Connie Francis's life. It was one of the big female stars of the 60s. I'm Scoot on the air. It's a Free for All Friday. We'll talk about the Saints and the Falcons and LSU and Alabama coming up more in the next hour. But we've got a few calls to get to. And then I want to ask you this question. A lot of people are crediting Elon Musk's involvement in Trump's campaign for his victory. Elon Musk essentially bought Twitter, turned it into X. But he bought this social platform to use to promote Donald Trump. Should he have been able to do that? Was it right for him to use his social media platform to help Trump get elected? What's the answer to that question? Oh, we're going to talk about that in just a few minutes. Let's go to Joe in Metairie. Hey, Joe.
Yeah, Scoot, I want to direct this at that Mr. Dan, who was on the radio with you a little while ago,
okay,
the black man, and just tell him it's so nice to hear somebody talk with common sense, black or white. It's just, it's unbelievable. He knew that Kamala was a bad candidate. 70% of the country said we're going in the wrong direction. So it was a referendum on Biden and Harris administration. It was simple as that.
Yeah, I said she was a bad candidate.
So nice to hear somebody with sense.
Why don't you tell me I have common sense? I said she was a bad candidate.
Well, if you said that, you got common sense too, Scoot.
Okay, but Joe, you know, I say things that, you know, people like you don't hear. You know, you've got selective hearing. You only hear what you want to hear. I say a lot of things that really are contrary to what you think of me, and you don't hear those things because it's not what you want to think of me.
Well, let me say, I do hear some. You're 50-50 because I heard you say the other day you really thought that Joe Rogan interview with Trump went real well, and you talk very nice about Trump. But most of the time, it's all negative.
Well, it's not that it's negative. I'm just telling you what's going on, and I'm telling you the truth. And I'm being honest about things that I think, just like you're honest about what you think. I'm just being honest about what I think and what I see in the world, in politics.
Well, what I'm saying, you know, I understand the Democrats, they're in a bad way right now.
And they are. They're in a terrible way right now, and they don't know who they are.
But did you happen to see James Carville last night on the news?
No, I didn't see that.
I mean, there's a grown man acting like a complete fool. He had a bag of Doritos stuffing in his face.
Well,
sticking
you know,
handfuls of Doritos in his mouth because Kamala liked Doritos.
Well, James Carville is a type. In fact, have you heard the promotion that we have? We're talking about this big thing going on at Bay St. Louis, and they're going to have an alien costume contest for the person that looks most like an alien. And I think James Carville lives in Bay St. Louis. I'm thinking, what if he's just walking by and they go, "Hey, we have a winner." He kind of looks like an alien, but he's a smart guy, a very smart guy. Some people don't like the way I look. All right, let's go to Charles in Baton Rouge. Hey, Charles, welcome to the show.
Yeah, hey, Scoop, glad to talk to you again. A couple of things. A number of you, having listened to you for a while, trying to sort out what's going on with, you know, various voters, many...
Did we lose you, Charles? Sounds like we lost Charles. Let's go to James on the North Shore. Charles, call us back, and we'll get you right on. Hey, James.
Hey, Stu, man. Thanks for having me on today, buddy. I was with most of those people who didn't watch the mainstream media election night. I started to watch it till around 9 o'clock, and then it started feeling like 2016 all over again with all the long faces.
Yeah.
And I'm like, there's no way I'm going to sit here and watch this all night. So I went to my DVR where I had Ken Burns' American Buffalo recorded. And I started watching that. And I tell you, man, that really puts you in perspective when you see what the Native American, the First Peoples went through, with everything that happened with the buffalo and the white man coming.
Yeah.
And it gave me a sense of peace. You know, I said, I'm not going to cry for my flesh. I'm going to turn to my Holy Spirit and walk in the Spirit. You know, I do have concerns about Trump having all this power now because, like in other places like Saudi Arabia, the Philippines, and times in the past where people got power, they were able to go after the opposition. He'll have that power now because he's not going to be restrained. Anything he does will be part of his duties as president.
Right.
We had a host on this station last week. I texted him about divisiveness, and I said, saying that, you know, a bunch of people in America are enemies of the, you know, state, and rounding them up seems like a bad thing. And he came back on with a response saying that, well, there is some people in America who need to be, you know, it was on there. He's, you know, the way he said it was like, oh my God. I mean, they really believe this. There's people in our local area and in government and are associated with government who do believe that there's people who need to be rounded up. But I'm just going to stay in my spirit. No matter what happens, that's not going to break me from this. I will keep happiness around me. I wish I could go away on a trip for 4 years or even if you put me in a coma. But no, it's not it. We're here.
You know, and James, you know, if you went away, if you were in a coma for 4 years, you may wake up in 4 years and the country's going to be pretty much the same, I hope.
Yeah. I tell you what, I'm going to stick to reading the Psalms 18 and Psalms 109 and a bunch of other Psalms that really bring you, if anyone's out there right now in a hard place, please turn to the Bible and read the Psalms and all that, and you'll find so much comfort in that. And like North Carolina, I'll tell you one thing, if I could, I would, and I'm trying, I got family in North Carolina, because look in Louisiana right now, we have the governor who's talking about taxing landscapers for some reason and car washes and to help fill the budget gap they're going to have when they do these cuts. Landscapers? You know how many landscapers are Trump supporters and Landry supporters? Why go after them? Man, leave the landscapers alone.
All right.
Thanks for having me.
All right, James.
Man, love you, buddy.
Have a good weekend. Find peace within yourself. And a lot of people find peace in the Bible. If you're on hold, stay with us. More of your calls coming up. We'll also get to some of your text messages. So Jeff Landry, our governor, appears to be on the short list for Donald Trump's U.S. Attorney General. That's the guy who is the top attorney for the United States of America. He's not going to be fair. He's going to be an attorney for the Trump administration, not for America. One of the problems that I have with Jeff Landry is when he was our attorney general in Louisiana, he did things that defied the Constitution. Jeff Landry is like a lot of right-wing radicals, and I consider Landry to be a right-wing radical. He stands for certain things that people applaud and love because they agree. But once you ignore the Constitution, that opens the door for others to come in who totally disagree with you and do some things that you don't agree with. And so this is a scary, scary time. Donald Trump and his attorney general need to respect the Constitution, even if they want to do some things that are unconstitutional. They should not be allowed to do those things. The problem is the last stop when it comes to things that are constitutional is the Supreme Court. And there's a question now with the Supreme Court dominated by Republicans. There's a question about whether or not the Supreme Court is really going to uphold the U.S. Constitution, something that has been the foundation of this country for so many years. Is that going to go away? I certainly hope it doesn't go away. This is what we have used to maintain this country, and it cannot be ignored, not by Jeff Landry or Donald Trump or anybody. On the Scoot on the Air Rock Culture Calendar on this day in 1971, Led Zeppelin released Led Zeppelin IV. Highest selling album, it included Black Dog, Rock and Roll, and Stairway to Heaven. All right, coming up, just a brief discussion. We'll have more talk about this next week, but I want to at least address the issue of Donald Trump and the FCC and his suggestion that he's going to retaliate against the media. He's going to retaliate against those people who had different opinions from him. What about Elon Musk? Elon Musk bought Twitter to help Trump, and a lot of people say that Elon Musk and X, used to be Twitter, is one of the reasons Trump won. So should Elon Musk have been able to do that? Well, if Elon Musk can do that, then why can't people use the media to express opinions against Trump? That's about freedom of speech. We'll talk about that coming up. Friday afternoon, Free for All Friday on WWL. I'm Scoot on the air. Glad you are with us. We've got a lot to get to in this final hour. Currently trending on the Scoot on the Air Facebook page. Lots going on there. There was a national article written about this show, and it's titled "How Pathetic It Is That Radio Talk Show Hosts Have Lack of Respect When It Comes to the Truth." And it's an article about me and the show on WWL. It was a national article that went out on this national news service. And you can read that and comment on it. That's also on Scoot on the Air Facebook. And if you haven't joined us yet, I hope you become part of SOTA Facebook. And I want you to comment on some of the comments, because some of the comments are just boneheaded comments. And I need sensible people to stand up and comment on the comments. Also, a recent post was about congratulations to Donald Trump. Will he keep his promises? And after the election, after this blowout election, there is some celebration, but there's also concern. So those are three things that are recently posted. You can check those out on Scoot on the Air Facebook. All right. We had Charles from Baton Rouge call last hour. We got disconnected. I told Charles that if he called back, we'll get him right on. So, Charles, welcome to the show.
Hey, thanks for trying again. I think it was my service equipment on this, and it decided to fail when you needed it the most.
That's okay.
Anyway,
I wanted to thank you for the variety of callers, especially those sensible, common-sense Republicans, which Joe sounds like he really wants to try to get there, and I hope he can get there. The gentleman, J.D., who called, and there was a gentleman who called the other day who was a Republican and gave his reasons why he could not vote for Donald Trump. And it's helped me, who's struggling with how did this all happen, as why, how did people make those individual choices that led us to this particular time in history. And it came to me, one of the things I used as a clinician was, the best predictor of future behavior is past behavior. Okay, when dealing with someone who has problems and you can help them understand that the things that they do in the future or about to do in the future are strongly related to what they did in the past. And you can assess someone's ability to do frequently bad things in the past, and it will probably carry forward to the future unless they can recognize that that behavior is not getting them what they want, unless it is indeed getting them what they want. Then you have a no-win situation. But to the FCC and X, Elon Musk has the ability and the technicians to be able to, as I could, if I were choose to do so, to hook up a bunch of VPNs, and I could send those Polish, quote, Polish messages, the racist Polish messages, from bedroom or basement in Brooklyn, and the FBI would have, as our own secretary of Attorney General said, they know it came from Poland, but from there they don't know where it came from. So Elon Musk has a stranglehold on the tech industry now because of his position with Donald Trump. This supervisor of the FCC who raises this smokescreen about free exchange of information, I remember those days, equal time. That can be changed by Congress, and who's in control of Congress now? I'm afraid dark days are upon us, and free speech is going to become harder and harder for people to do, because if you don't agree with it, you just complain. I think it's pornographic. I think it's against my rights as a Christian. I think it's against my rights as a Chick-fil-A eater, that I don't like that on here. I don't like to hear that. We're in for dark days. I'm sorry, Scoot, but that's where I'm at on this.
Charles, I hope you're wrong. A lot of people agree with you, and we talked about that this week on the show. A lot of people are in a very, very dark place. I'm going to be optimistic. I'm accepting the choice of America and the results of the election. But I'm going to be optimistic, but that doesn't mean that there are not things that concern me. Elon Musk bought Twitter, renamed it X, which I think is a really cool name, renamed the social media platform. Elon Musk essentially used this platform to promote the presidency of Donald Trump. He's being credited now by a lot of people with being responsible in part for Trump's victory because of what he allowed to happen on X. He used a social media platform to promote a candidate. Fox News promotes Donald Trump. Fox News promotes Republicans. As mad as Donald Trump might be with Fox News ultimately collectively promoted Donald Trump, and they promote Republicans. I don't have a problem with that. I don't have a problem with Elon Musk doing what he wants to with X. I don't have a problem with that. I don't have a problem with the countless conservative talk shows that mimic each other in this vast echo chamber across this country. I don't have a problem with that. But I have a problem with the idea that Donald Trump might try to retaliate against people in the media who disagree with him. Because this is a fundamental American right. FCC Commissioner Brendan Carr spoke out about Kamala Harris being on Saturday Night Live. He was irate about that. But there was really nothing wrong with that. And NBC did give Donald Trump equal time. This particular Republican on the FCC panel, Brendan Carr, are you ready? He wrote a chapter for the Conservative Heritage Foundation's Project 2025. He wrote a chapter for Project 2025 about what he would do if he were in charge of the FCC. Do not be surprised if Brendan Carr becomes Donald Trump's selection for running the FCC. Brendan Carr could use the FCC to create unnecessary penalties, could do things to unnecessarily and, in my opinion, unconstitutionally shut down media that is in disagreement. The idea that Donald Trump wants to retaliate against the media is a degree of fascism. It's part of fascism. And I thought Trump supporters were against fascism. I thought you didn't like fascism. Well, you can't be for cracking down on the media that disagrees with Donald Trump and be against fascism, because that is sort of an aspect of fascism. So I am concerned that Brendan Carr, as head of the FCC, may try to crack down on opinions that are contrary to the president. One of the foundations of this country is freedom of speech. Do you know who owns the media in the UK? You know who owns the BBC, the British Broadcasting Company? The government. Do you know who owns the media in most countries? The government. Do you know who does not own the media in America? The government. In America, one of our crown jewels is the idea that the media has freedom to hold politicians accountable, and that we are free collectively as an entity. We are free to express our opinions, agree or disagree. If we lose that, we lose a fundamental right in America. And for those who have said during the campaign, oh, Donald Trump's not part of Project 2025. Well, he's going to be. They wrote Project 2025 for the moment Donald Trump became president. And this is that moment. So I believe there's every reason to think that it's going to be implemented. And so what will you say then? I'm not going to say I told you so, but I'm going to say I knew this was coming. And I knew Project 2025 was just waiting for Donald Trump to win. And he won. But the idea of eliminating abortion rights, the idea of making pornography illegal, I mean, these are just two of the things that stand out. There's a lot in this 900-page-plus project. And a lot of it seems to defy the Constitution of the United States. So, you know, it's really scary. And don't be so quick to think, Donald Trump said he wasn't part of it. Donald Trump can say whatever he wants. And if I'm wrong, as I've said, I will admit it. We'll know. But I think Project 2025 is going to become part of the Trump administration, because that's why they wrote the thing. And so just the idea that we don't have freedom of speech, the idea that we can't criticize a president, that is insane. All right. Hey, it's the weekend, so let's relax and have fun. Yeah, we'll talk more about the threat to freedom of speech on the show next week. All right, if you're on hold, hang on. We'll get to some of your calls coming up. All right, so I don't know whether you know this or not, but Alabama, LSU this weekend, you might not know this, but if you flunk out of LSU's veterinarian school, you are automatically admitted to the University of Alabama's med school. A lot of people don't know that, but it's true. I'm Scoot, and we'll be right back on WWL. Hey, wouldn't it be great if the Saints kicked the Falcons' ass? I mean, it can happen. You know, we got the new interim coach, Rizzi. Apparently, he's going to bring some excitement to the team. I'm looking forward to the game, and we could kick their butts. I hope it happens. Hey, don't forget to join a special edition of the Fans and the Pro in Vachery with Deuce McAllister and Mike Haas. Are going to be there this afternoon from 4 to 6. This is at the First American Bank and Trust headquarters. It's a celebration of Veterans Day. And it's a special edition of the Fans and the Pro. They'll be talking about the Saints and LSU and Alabama. It is at 2785 Louisiana 20. That's the First American Bank and Trust headquarters. From 4 to 6 today, a special edition of the Fans and the Pro in Vachery, Louisiana. Let me mention this for a moment. We've talked about this before, but we have a lot of new listeners to our show. There are going to be a lot of Atlanta Falcons fans in town. Their team is winning. I'm sure a lot of Saints fans have sold their tickets, so the Dome is going to be even more crowded with Atlanta Falcons fans, who always travel well. So there will be Falcons fans on the streets of our city. What do you do if your child sees Falcons fans holding hands? What do you do if your child sees Falcons fans kiss each other? Some Falcons fans are actually going to be in clubs dancing with each other. You see, a lot of people believe that this is a lifestyle that is an abomination. And I don't think people are just turning into Falcons fans. I think people are born this way. I mean, why would you choose that lifestyle? If you're a Falcons fan, man, you were born that way. Nobody wants to choose to be that. I mean, even if your team's winning, who wants to be a Falcons fan? So just be aware of the fact that Falcons fans are out there. A lot of people consider it to be an abomination. And these people have a right. They have a right to hold hands. They have a right to kiss. In fact, I know a lot of you oppose this, but Falcons fans even have a right to marry each other. They have a right to adopt children. It doesn't mean their children are going to become Falcons fans. I mean, they might see the lifestyle of their parents and go, I don't want to have anything to do with that. So just be empathetic and be understanding and realize that this is the United States of America. And Falcons fans have a right to be free. Some people I know just think it's just something that is deplorable and nobody should be exposed to it. But they have their rights. As disgusting as you think it might be, they have a right. They have a right to kiss. They have a right to marry. They have a right to have intimate relations with each other, and they do. So when you see the Falcons fans on the street, use this as a teaching moment and let your kids know, I know we think it's disgusting, but they do have a right to be Falcons fans. And we should have empathy because we believe they were born that way. All right, I'm Scoot. It is a free-for-all Friday. Let's get back to some of your calls. Let's go to New Orleans. Everest, you're on WWL. Good afternoon.
How you doing?
I'm good.
About 2 months ago, you had asked about why did Democrats not want to be considered patriots anymore, why they didn't drop the word patriot.
Well, I'd never said that. I didn't say that Democrats dropped the word. I said that it does seem like the far right has adopted the word patriot, and that nobody else feels a right to be considered a patriot. Although everybody has a right to be considered patriot, but right wing radicals use patriot more than Democrats, and I think Democrats should just work a little harder at taking back that word, because I'm a patriotic American and I'm not a right wing radical.
Right. That's exactly what I was saying. Because I feel that way. I'm patriotic, but It's been taken over by so many of the right wing, so many of the doomsday preppers, so many of the people that seem like nut jobs until everybody kind of shy away from it.
Well, and that's why I think we should be bolder and we should fly the American flag and we should say patriotic, and we should consider ourselves to be patriotic because, again, right wing radicals seem to have adopted that word as their own. And you can be a Democrat and be a patriotic American.
Yeah, it's more like people try and separate themselves from that because they don't want to be seen in that mindset as being that person.
Well, I think
that
it's
hates everything except is what it, I believe to be right.
And I think it's a shame that one group seems to have stolen the word patriotic to define only themselves. And in their minds, they actually believe they're the only patriotic Americans. But their lack of respect for freedom and the Constitution indicates that they're anything but patriotic. Michael's in Metairie. Michael, welcome to the show.
Hey, Scoot, want to corroborate Ian's spot-on analogy of why Trump was responsible for hundreds of thousands of deaths. And my Exhibit A is this. His sycophantic doctor, the one that he loved so much, who always took his side during COVID, Dr. Birx, after she left office, after Trump lost, and she was out on her own, and she said all of her doctor friends thought she was an idiot. And she says, I have to admit, Donald Trump was responsible for the death of 300,000 people or more. And this is what he said to me. He says, I'm going to call it a Democratic hoax. And it's not real. It's a hoax. And he came out and said that. And so because of that, he didn't do anything for much while the rest of the world was attacking a COVID solution. So that's why Ian is completely correct. Now, secondly, the implications of Trump being presidency. First of all, he's going to pardon all those guys who have pled guilty to insurrection, trying to destroy our Constitution and our government on January 6th. They've admitted they're criminals, and yet he's going to pardon them as patriots. It's incredible. Now, what I love, though, in a couple of things that came out of the election, Fannie Willis, the DA in his trial in Atlanta, and by the way, he has no legal rights to interrupt that like he can the federal trials. Fannie Willis was elected, reelected overwhelmingly. So I hope Fannie starts pursuing it. And the same thing in, he's already been found as a fraudulent criminal in New York. I hope they pursue that. Don't let the fact that he's president do that, because Jack Smith is going to dismiss that, those obvious crimes. And I'm shocked by it. And lastly, you know what? Two things quickly. Trump is a prophet. I have to congratulate him. He said that I could murder somebody in the middle of Fifth Avenue and those idiots will still vote for me. That was proven Tuesday night. So anyway, the last thing, fascism, by definition, is a right-wing ideology.
Yeah.
So if the Trump supporters could add two and two, and which they probably would have problems with, they would understand that four makes a fascist an ideology of the right wing. That's what they are. Thank you.
All right, let's not insult all Trump supporters because they're not all the same. Mike in Slidell, you're on WWL. Good afternoon, Mike.
Yeah, it's good. I'm one of those idiots that your last caller just labeled, because I certainly voted for President Trump.
Yeah, and I don't think everybody that voted, you know, I would never say anything like that.
Let's leave it at that. But look, here's the thing. First of all, let's talk about Twitter for a second, right? You want to talk about Twitter and X? Guess what? Before Musk bought Twitter, guess what Twitter was involved with? Censorship. In fact, Musk laid off 75% of the workforce at X because they were involved, all those people were involved in censoring communications via the platform.
Okay, I don't know that that's true, Mike. And the other thing is,
yes, it is
so, wait,
true.
Wait, wait,
it is
what,
true.
Fox News
in fact,
sucks.
In fact, Musk has already discussed
Mike,
it. That's,
Fox
if
News.
You don't think, if, could, wait a minute, Scoot. If you don't think that Twitter was involved in censorship before Musk bought it, you're wrong.
Okay, well, so what? I mean, that's my question.
So what? So what I'm saying is, it was his efforts to get rid of the
censorship.
Okay,
but they got, so he got rid of it and censored other things, and Fox News censored things.
Like what?
And Fox News.
And so does NBC.
Okay,
and CBS
okay.
And
I'm not arguing that. I'm saying all of that's okay. What's not okay is coming down on broadcast media with a government agency controlling freedom of speech. That's what's not okay.
Well, that's speculation on your part that will happen. So,
and I'm concerned, but yes, it's a concern.
Okay. I get it, but look, let me also take offense to your position or your implications that the Supreme Court will ignore the Constitution when reviewing either actions of Trump or the administration, and it will ignore the Constitution. Now, people may not like the fact that a conservative Supreme Court rules in the manner that it does, but to imply that they're ignoring the Constitution when they make these rulings is irresponsible.
Well, we'll see. You know, it's speculation.
Yeah,
I don't know, but we'll see, Mike. And you know, and if they do, I hope you'll call me back and remind me that that I was right.
People love to say that the reason that they got put in Twitter jail or the reason their tweet got taken down is because it was conservative thought, and the people at the liberal Twitter headquarters in San Francisco didn't like that. And that amounts to censorship, but that's not really what happened, at least not at the scale that people like Mike think it happened. You know, it's like, yeah, if you violate the terms of service, by using a racial or religious slur against somebody, and then your account gets locked, then you cry censorship.
Or if it's misinformation.
Or if you're lying about the election, or if you're lying about COVID, and you're not allowed to do that. That's, and they're not out here censoring people who are saying, I think Donald Trump is a better president than Hillary Clinton would have been. Like, that's not the kind of censorship that was engaged in over there. And the people that are crying the loudest about that are the people that are now most eager to defend Elon Musk when he has done the exact opposite thing now. He came in, he says, I'm a free speech absolutist. There's no kind of speech that you're not going to be able to use on Twitter now. And the first thing he starts doing is blocking researchers, blocking the kid who was tracking his jet. Twitter has lurched to the right. He's got his thumb on the scale big time. He let all the Nazis and all the bots and all the racists back in there, which is why it's the cesspool it is now.
And so
congratulations, guys, you did it.
So when Twitter was censoring conservative thought, okay, isn't that their right? Fox News censors things. Every conservative talk show across this country censors things. Read the article that was written about me that went out nationally. It's posted on the SOTA Facebook page. I don't have a problem with that. But what I have a problem with, because let the market decide. Let the market decide who makes it and who doesn't make it. But the government has no right in this country under our Constitution to dictate speech when it comes to broadcast media. And I didn't have a problem with Twitter before. I don't have a problem with Elon Musk using it to promote Donald Trump. I never said that was wrong. I don't have a problem with it. But just remember that if he has the right to do that, then in theory, somebody has the right to do the opposite. You cannot have it both ways and call yourself an American.
If Jack Dorsey interfered with Twitter in favor of Hillary Clinton to the degree that Elon Musk has interfered with his new baby toy to promote Donald Trump, there'd be pitchforks at Twitter headquarters.
Yeah, I know. I get it. And I'm so glad that from 1 to 4 in the afternoon here on WWL, we have this right to bring these things up. We have the freedom and the right to bring these things up. And whether people like it or not, I mean, some people love it. The fact that some people don't like it, that's okay. Because, damn it, this is the United States of America. And we have freedom of speech. All right. Tigers beat Alabama. It's going to happen Saturday night. I'm Scoot. We'll be back on WWL. All right. It's about 11 minutes to 4 o'clock as the clock ticks. This Friday afternoon becomes Friday night. All right. Saints, Falcons, LSU, Alabama, Tulane, Temple. Tulane plays Temple tomorrow afternoon, 3 o'clock, Yulman Stadium. Let's go to Metairie. Josh, you're on WWL. Good afternoon, Josh.
Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
Scoot.
Yeah.
So I heard you talk about the Atlanta Falcons fans and, you know, kissing, and they were born that way.
Oh, God.
What if a Falcons fan is born that way, but they want to become a fan of another team? Do we allow them to do that?
There's not evidence that the conversion therapy works.
We're talking about sports. I'm asking, if they want to go to another team, do we just allow them to do that? Because they're born that way, like you said.
Well, I mean, if somebody chooses to go to another team, yeah, that's okay. But again, the conversion therapy, it just doesn't work. I mean, you're just still intrinsically a Falcons fan because you're born that way. And I think people could try to disguise it. You know, you could wear different clothes, you know, like wear the uniform, another jersey. But you're still at heart a Falcons fan, and you still want to do Falcons fans do. To each other.
So if you wear other clothes of other teams, you have a costume on, basically.
Exactly.
No, I'm glad you say it. I appreciate that, you know, the homosexuality connection with the sports thing. Do you read the Bible, Scoot?
You know, look, I'm familiar with the Bible. I can't tell you that I read it, you know, every night. I'm going to be honest with you. And, I mean, I could tell you that I do, but I don't. I should, but I don't.
You should probably read the book of Leviticus. It's probably a really good book for you to listen to. But I just I call for one question for you, Scoot. Actually, two questions. Out of the 71 million people that voted for Donald Trump, how many are far right leaning? You know, these fascist alt right people that you think of. How many do you think? Just give me a number. 71 million. Because you talk about the hardcore right.
I'm going to guess. I'll say 30%.
So 21 million, you think, are on the ultra right of
Look,
this
we don't
country.
Have time. We don't have time to do math. Why don't you just make your point? Just make your point, Josh.
I just wanted to ask, because
okay,
you
make
and
your
Ian
point.
Keep on talking about Fox News.
Okay, make your
and
point.
Every week, Fox News only gets 2.1 million views per week, but 71 million people voted for Trump. So taking away your Fox News comments that y'all always make, that's 2 million people. What do you have to say to the other 69 million people? And let's take away your 30 million. So that's 39 million people that don't fall into that Fox News like bracket that you always say. What do you have to say to those people? Why do you always, you know, it's always Fox News. You know what I mean?
No, it's not always Fox News. We talk about a lot of things. And look, Josh, I know why people voted for Donald Trump. You know, we talked about this. I did a whole blog about it this week. So, I mean, again, what's your point? I've already explained why people voted for Donald Trump. I don't know what you're trying to prove here. Fox News may have, you know, but they've got the biggest audience, and it's a very active audience. And with Fox News and with conservative radio shows and conservative media, there are a hell of a lot of people who are tuned into the conservative media. And that's not my opinion. That's a fact. But I think about maybe 30% of the 71 million people are right wing radicals. A lot of people voted for Trump because they didn't like Harris. A lot of people voted for Trump because they thought he was the best option. 50% of the people leaving the polls during the primary in one case said that they were Republicans, but they were not aligned with MAGA. So a lot of Republicans voted for Trump because they thought he was the best option, but they don't like him and they don't agree with everything that he says.
I'll just be real brief here. Josh, I think, doesn't understand the influence that Fox News has on the rest of the conservative media ecosystem and beyond that of the mainstream quote unquote liberal media. I mean, these talking points that get invented on Fox News are repeated everywhere across the country, on every radio show, on every blog, on every TV show. So even if only 2.1 million people are watching every night, that is not a representative number reach that broadcast actually may have.
And if you listen to conservative talk radio across this country, they're all parrots. I mean, they parrot the talking points that come down from the Republican Party. A lot of it comes from Fox News, some of it from Fox News, not from the Republican Party. But just listen to the echo chamber of conservative media across this country. There are not many original thoughts there. So, yeah, I mean, Ian's right. There's a small percentage compared to those who voted for Donald Trump. But, you know, the news gets out there. And you know, in the face of the liberal media, so many Americans are concerned about the dominance of the liberal media. Okay, explain to me how Trump won. If the liberal media is so powerful, how did Trump win again? All right, we're going to come back to wrap up the show. It's Friday. And look, you know, the election's over. It was decisive. Man, I'm looking forward to a fun weekend. You know, like the day after the election, I was in row 9. Of the Pelicans game, just, you know, loving life. They lost. I didn't like that. But, you know, man, I love my life. And this, the outcome of this election doesn't hurt me at all. In fact, we'll have a lot to talk about. I'm Scoot. We'll be back on WWL. All right. Just one last comment about Alabama. What do you call a virgin in Alabama? That's a person who can run faster than her brothers. All right, I want to thank our program director and brand manager, Diane Newman, our assistant program director and brand manager, senior producer of Scoot on the Air, Ian Hoke, market manager, Dan Barron, news anchor, Ian Ozan, and traffic with Joe Cardosi. Deuce and Haas coming up next. They're going to be on Highway LA-20, and this is in Vashon, Louisiana, at First American Bank's Veterans Day celebration, coming up next at 4 o'clock. All right, just have a great weekend. Have a safe weekend. The weekend's here. I'm Scoot. Love you, New Orleans.